It says that I'll have to give an account for every word that I spoke and every word that I didn't. Every word that I omit from God's written word when I'm standing up here and teaching and preaching on how to live for Christ, every word that I omit from God's word because it makes me uncomfortable or makes me worry about who might not be here next Sunday, I'll have to give an account for that. Because when I omit from God's word, I'm leading people astray. We're all called to follow in the way that He lays out for us. It's laid out in our Bibles. It's laid out in His written word, which the Holy Spirit inspired, so that we would know what He's expecting of us, what He calls us to do, the life that He wants for us, and the things that He doesn't want us to have to go through. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which governed you in your ignorance before you knew the requirements and transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. The evil desires, the selfish desires which led you in your ignorance of the one true God. The world says, don't force your opinion on me. What you may think is wrong, I may feel is right. And what you may feel is right, I may be set totally against. You live your way, and I'll live mine. Charles Darwin, most of you know who that is, especially if you have children who went through public school. Charles Darwin went to seminary school. He was a Bible-thumping preacher. That's how he described himself. He was going around town and telling people about Jesus. And then his daughter got sick, and she died, and he got mad at God. And he set out to prove that there was no God because he didn't save his daughter. He had to stretch his theories to paint pictures in people's minds to follow along with his theories. But he gave hurting, angry, self-centered people something to grab onto other than God. Something to base their lives on, even though the theories are full of holes. Later on in his life, he said that he feared that if his theory was right, that there would be no reason for the world to continue in morals. There would be no reason to do the right thing because it's the right thing. And the world would become a lawless society. Verse 15 says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage, because it is written, you shall be holy, set apart, for I am holy. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that it's absolutely essential for your walk with God for you to open up God's written word and read it yourself. The whole reason for doing that is so that you know when you sit down and someone starts speaking to you about God, you know if they're leading you according to God's word or if they're leading you down some other trail. If you never open God's word, you're likely to follow every word of another person that makes your life easier instead of following what God truly wants in your life and doesn't want in your life. What does God's word really say about what we're doing in some of our churches? This is a hard place to go because I don't want to set people's hearts against other churches. Ultimately, I want you to understand that as a pastor, one of the things that I would really love to see is when I come up here on Sunday morning to have the pews full of people who want to hear about Jesus and want to have a stronger relationship with Him. But in the society that we're living in, not all the churches are full. In fact, a lot of them are closing. But the ones that are full, are typically doing a set pattern. And so as a pastor, I've looked to see what some of this pattern is. And this is what I've found. Make your church look like the world, so that when the people of the world come into the church, they are comfortable and they will want to be a part of it. And so in some of our churches, we have churches that their worship is like a rock concert. I have a friend who says that he was in a church and he was a pastor of the church, and he felt like his ears were bleeding by the time service was over because the music was so loud and the lights were going and it was dark and the ceiling was black and there was smoke all over the place and all you could see was the highlighted people that were doing the music. And so that church had hundreds and hundreds of people in it. They got up on Sunday morning and came to worship God or came for a concert. One or the other. But so now I'm faced with something. I want my church to be full of people who are hungry for God. So do I paint our ceiling black? Do I cover over our windows so that the sunlight doesn't come in? Do I put smoke machines up here? Do I take out the front four pews and push the stage back so that I can put all these instruments up here? Do I take the money that you guys are giving out of your tithe and offering to our church and hire people to come in and play these instruments and blast it so loud that the people around us can hear that it's time for church to start in hopes that more people will come into the church? Or do I do what God's word says? And I preach His word and pray to Him constantly to guide me in everything that I do and say as He builds His church. Do I put my faith in God and my trust in whoever comes to church on a Sunday morning is who God wanted to speak to that day? And yes, there's more hearts that He's working on and drawing who may have found something else to do that day. But He's still working on them. And my job on that given Sunday is not to overlook anybody who came to the church that day, but to treasure them and to give them exactly what God wanted them to have in that day. Do I set my heart on I want a lot of people, I want a big audience? Or do I set my heart on doing what God called me to do that day? Our next verse, 1 Peter 2:1. So put aside every trace of malice, all deceit and hypocrisy, and envy and all slander and hateful speech. When I was looking over this and I was writing it down, I noticed there's a lot of ands in there. And I have to think that when this was being wrote, that the Holy Spirit was putting these things in Peter's heart or whoever he was dictating it to. And he was writing it down. Oh yeah, there's another one. And he would write it down. And oh, there's another one. And he would write it down. And another one. You got to keep your heart from these things. Put aside every trace of malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all slander and hateful speech. And typically I'll read through these things and I'll leave them to you to receive whatever that means to you. But today, I feel like we need to break some of these down. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time breaking them down, but I'm just going to tell you what they mean. So in case you don't know what malice means, every trace of malice. It's the desire to inflict harm or suffering on another person. So someone hurt you. Someone did something you didn't like. Someone cut you off in traffic. But now they got behind another slow car and your lane is open and you can go in front of them. So in your mind, you want to go up in front of them, cut in front of them, and then hit your brakes. Would that be what God's word is telling us to do? God's word says to put aside every trace of malice, every trace of wanting to inflict harm or suffering on another person. All deceit. This is the intentional misleading of another person, adjusting my words so that you won't know exactly the truth, but you'll agree with me because now I'm adjusting my words so you see it my way. I'm deceiving you and leading you in something I want you to see rather than what's the actual truth. Hypocrisy. This is someone who says one thing but does another thing. Like, you need to stop all your sinful behavior in order to join our group. Well, I say that, then I turn around and I do something that leaves you scratching your head. Hypocrisy. Envy. I like what the other churches have. I talked about their thousands and their hundreds, and wouldn't it be awesome to have our church packed and people parked up and down the street and people waiting outside for us to do a second service? Wouldn't that be awesome? But is that what God has for us right now, or is God doing another work in our smaller setting right now because He has steps that He wants to lead all of us through in preparing us for what He has coming next? Slander. Knocking somebody else down with my words. Hateful speech. Making sure that other people know who I despise and why I despise them. As children of God, we're called to set aside these things that are common among the people in the world. We are no longer of the world. We're born again. We're children of God. 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, all of you be like-minded, united in spirit. Elsewhere in Scripture it says we're supposed to be like-minded with Christ. We just did it last week. Like-minded with Christ Jesus. So to not set any Scripture aside, which some of you may remember hearing that in Scripture, not setting any Scripture aside, this verse would be telling us not to gather together and decide what we believe and formulate our own guidelines on this is how we're going to follow God, because this is what we like and this is what we don't like, and so we're going to set that over here and we're going to put all these things together. And okay, now we all agree this is what we like about being a Christian, and so this is who we are. We're united, we gathered together, we decided together, we're like-minded. That's not what this verse is telling us. Because we're not setting aside Scripture. And elsewhere in Scripture it says we're to be like-minded with Christ. So that means we're to be like-minded with what's wrote in God's Word. We're to gather together under the Word of God and set our hearts and minds and words and actions in that same direction. The direction of God. The direction Jesus walked in and shows us to follow in. We're to be sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, courteous, and compassionate towards each other as members of one household and humble in spirit. And so in this section, there's two points that I want to make. The first one is, as members of one household. So in my house, when my children are going through something, when I'm going through something, when my wife's going through something, the rest of our household makes adjustments in our day to compensate for whatever's going on. Whether it be stress or illness or celebration or good times or bad times or whatever it is, we make adjustments in our house to compensate for whatever's going on. One of the things that I hate to do in my house is dishes. It's not so much that I don't like to clean the dishes. It's not so much that I don't want them out of the sink and in the dishwasher or in the cupboards when they're clean. It's that when I stand there and wash them or rinse them and put them in the dishwasher, it hurts my back. So by the time I'm done doing the dishes, I'm in quite a bit of pain. And so I don't like the pain. So I don't want to do the dishes. But when the dishes need to be done, and Lisa's got bags of paperwork in the office that she needs to go through before tomorrow morning, what would be the right thing for me to do? Honey, before you start that, my back is going to hurt if I do the dishes. So I know right now it's going to take you to midnight to finish your paperwork, but could you get the dishes done first? Or is the right thing for me to do to suck it up and do the dishes and help out? It's the same way in our church family. Our church family. And a lot of times when I'm preaching and I'm teaching, I call this place our church family because it's not about this building. It's about the people inside this building and the unity that we have together. The whole reason for us to not forsake the gathering of the believers is so that we can come together and be strengthened by being together. When we're going through something, there's other people alongside us. They can remind us of God's word and can lift us up and encourage us. Just recently, we had somebody in our church family that was going through so many things that this person said, "There's so much that I'm going through that I can't even pray right now. Will you pray for me?" When our life really starts falling apart, we can get in that place. And if we are sitting at home watching sermons on TV, we can get that entertainment without having to give our tithe. But when we start falling apart or struggles come in our life and we need somebody to stand there with us because we're not capable of standing there on our own or lifting our arms like Moses, we need somebody to come alongside us and hold our arms up. And we have that in a church family. The second point I want to make is really why I have all this on. It's humble in spirit. We talk about being humble in spirit on a regular basis. It's one of those verses that so many Christians are used to quoting because we know that we're supposed to be humble. We know that God doesn't like a proud or haughty spirit. So we know this, so we say it. And sometimes it seems like we're saying it to remind ourselves. But do you like my suit? My nice flashy suit? It's shiny. So when I walk under some of the lights, it might reflect. And draw your attention away from the garbage that I'm carrying around with me. And so I put on my suit and I come to church and I put on my smile and I pick out some nice words to say as I'm walking around and I try to cover up my garbage. And as I'm walking around church, I might see somebody who looks like they're having some trouble. And I go over and I talk to them and I point out their garbage. And I talk to them about how in God's Word it says that you shouldn't do this. It's garbage. It's not good for your life. And so now I feel better because I pointed out somebody else's garbage. I got my suit on, covering my garbage. Can't see any of my garbage. And then I come over and I talk to this next family and look it. We got garbage for both of you guys. And so now I'm going to talk to you about, because God's Word says we're supposed to come alongside each other, and if there's sin in a brother or sister's life, we're to go to them privately and point it out, right? So I'm not doing this in front of everybody. I'm pulling them alongside, you know, pulling them over to the side, and I'm telling them about the garbage that's in their life and stuff. And am I doing the right thing? Am I following what God's Word says? Because I'm picking and choosing what I want to do in God's Word, I'm doing part of what's right. I'm attempting to help a brother or a sister recognize something that's going on in their life that's going to lead to a place that God doesn't want them to have to experience. But am I doing it with a wrong attitude? Because in all of this, I'm pointing out everybody else's things, but in reality, I have all of this that I'm hiding from everybody. So that you don't recognize anything that's going on in my life. Now, if I truly have a humble spirit and I recognize that something's going on in somebody else's life, the real way that I would do it in a humble spirit would be I would come alongside this person and I would recognize that I'm not perfect, that I don't have it all right, but we have a God. We together have a God who loves us so much that He will cover our sins to have us with Him. It doesn't negate the fact that He wants us to change and He wants us to strive to do the right thing. But if I come alongside a brother and sister and I recognize my own shortcomings, my own garbage, the things that God is working on in my life, if I recognize them, am I coming alongside this person with the attitude that I want to help in this situation versus coming alongside and saying, I want to point out what you're doing wrong? Humble in spirit. Verse 9, and never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Jesus is our example, right? We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. That means that we're trying with all of our heart and all of our mind to set our lives in a path that follows Jesus. And so we have God's written word that shows us the steps that Jesus took and the ways that He responded to people and the things that He took upon Himself to help somebody out. Jesus is our example. Now, we're not likely to get everything right like Jesus did, but we are. We are supposed to be trying. We're not supposed to set our hearts on grace, right? We are supposed to recognize grace because that's the only way we're going to get there. But we're not supposed to set our lives on the fact that I'm going to rely on all grace and I'm going to, you know, I said those magic words. Jesus is my Savior. I got baptized in water. And now I'm good. So when I can, I'll stop into church and I'll say hi to people. When I have a couple extra bucks in my pocket, I'll put it in the offering. I'll do a good deed every once in a while. I'm a pretty good person. But, you know, these things that make me feel uncomfortable when I'm in church, I'm not really ready to get rid of them yet, so I'm just going to keep doing them because I have grace and God's going to cover it for me. And when we open up God's Word, like I'm trying to present to everybody, and we read through God's Word, we see that God's Word talks about more than just giving our words to God. We're supposed to be giving our heart to God. And so in giving our heart to God, our heart desires to follow Him in the things we do and say. And that means that if this that I like to do is not following God, then I'm really making a choice. Am I going to follow God or am I going to follow the desires that I have in my heart to do this and I'm going to do this instead? Avoid scolding and berating and any kind of abuse. I'm going to start skipping along a little bit. Scolding and berating means reprimanding someone angrily and sometimes at length. It's, did I make my point? God's Word tells us to avoid doing this. We want them to understand. We want them to get the point. We don't want them to get hurt. What other excuse can I come up with to make it okay for me to do this? But God's Word says not to. Why does God's Word say not to do things like this. Let me hide my garbage so you don't see it. Why does God's word say don't berate and scold people? Because earlier in this verse, we were reading where God's word tells us to be like-minded, to be united. And if I'm humiliating somebody to the point where they get my point, then am I being united with them? Or am I causing them to build a wall? God's word says not to do certain things, things like this, things like other things. It says not to do things because they lead to places God doesn't want us to be. They lead to things God doesn't want us to have to go through. Or maybe it's something that leads to something God does want us to go through, and that's why He's telling us to do it. It says, avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse. But on the contrary, give a blessing. Pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection. Over and over we have, I guess this is kind of a story. So, it says, don't berate people. Don't scold people. Pray for them. Be a blessing to them. And I already pointed out about building walls in people by causing them to shut down to us. So over and over again, I hear this same story. Usually has different names attached to it, but it always goes like this. I tried praying, and it didn't work. I tried that Jesus stuff, and it didn't work for me. Maybe it works for you, but it didn't work for me. I tried it. It didn't work. I'm done with that. I'm going to do my own thing. Every time that I hear this, I have the same response. I think to myself, what was this person trying to pray away in their life that God didn't want to just take away? He wanted to change their heart going through it. What kinds of things is this person hurting because of? And so this is their response. My reaction to this would be, you tried praying and it didn't work. Can I pray for you? What's going on that made you upset? What happened in your life? If we look at the Bible and watch what Jesus did as He went through His time on earth, His ministry. If we watch what He did, what did He do? Did He, every time somebody said something negative, did He say, okay, no problem, see you later? Or did He spend time with people that were in bad places talking about whatever was going on in their life? Like the woman at the well. Did He condemn her for the five husbands that she had and the man that she was with then? Or did He point out that He knew it, and He knew that she knew it wasn't right? And okay, let's go forward from here. Be a blessing. Pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection. Pray for people and be a blessing, because you'll likely find out that they're truly hurting. For you have been called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing from God that brings well-being, happiness, and protection. What was it that verse 15 said? Be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage. When you set your heart and mind on following Christ, here's a promise you can stand on. Be holy, because your God is holy. This is so that you might inherit a blessing from God that brings happiness and protection. Over and over and over again, God's word tells us to be set apart, to willfully set our minds to do the right thing. Over and over and over again in Scripture, it talks about how we're not perfect, how we're not going to get it right all the time, how we need Him, and He's there for us. And when we turn and confess our sins, He will forgive us, and He will draw us again. How He stands and watches off in the distance when we've strayed away, and for us to come back to Him. And all heaven celebrates because we were dead, and now we're alive again. Scripture talks about that we're not going to get it right all the time, but it also talks about that we're supposed to be trying. We're not supposed to grab a hold of I can do anything because God is capable of doing anything and He covers it all over and so I can be whatever I want to be. That's not what God's Word says. Verse 10, for the one who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether apparent or not, sometimes, many times, we don't recognize the blessing of God when things don't go the way we want. But sometimes, years later, we look back and we see where God's hand was moving in our lives. And I've shared stories of my own life where I didn't recognize what was going on at the time. But years later, I look back and I see how God was working this out of my life and working this into my life and guiding me to see how this hurts other people around me and changing my heart to not like this anymore. And through all those times when I didn't recognize what God was doing and I didn't like what I was going through, but years later and I look back, I see the love and mercy of God in those times when God was using those times to bring me to where He wanted me to be. The one who wants to enjoy life and see good days must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile, which is treachery and deceit. Look, in case you haven't figured out why these sermons lately are not like typical sermons, you know, 3 points and a story and have a great week. It's not like that right now because that's not what God's putting on my heart. God is putting on my heart to use His Word, to open up His Word, and to pour it out all over this place so that you guys will receive what's in His Word. And in doing that, I have to present His Word and go to another section and present His Word and go to another section and present His Word so that you see that it's not, I want you to receive this, so I went through Scripture and I found a place where it talks about that. And so now I'm going to tell you that and I'm going to tell you to go and do it. And sometimes that works, but that's not what God has for our church right now. That's not what God has for our body of believers right now. What God is putting on my heart to give to us right now is over and over and over how it's written in His Word that we need to be set apart from the ways of the world. Now, in saying this, I need to say this. In setting ourselves apart from the world, that does not mean that we close our doors to the world. Because if we allow the world to come into this place, they might spill over into us. And before you know it, our pews will be covered in garbage. We are Christians. We're followers of Christ. And I use the woman in the well. The woman at the well, not in the well. And we know that the Jews didn't typically go through Samaria. They avoided it. But what did Jesus do? He went through Samaria. He stopped at the well. And He waited for who He knew was coming by. And then He loved on her. In the broken state that she was in, He still engaged in her life. When the disciples and the people came back around and they saw what He was doing and they're like, what is He doing? Does He know who this person is? What's the answer we get from Scripture? He knows everything. He knew exactly who this person was. In fact, He told her about everything that she had ever done, according to those verses right there in that story. He knew, and He still went to her. So in setting ourselves apart, we're not to close out the world and tell everybody you need to get yourself right before you come in here because we don't want your garbage in our place. We're to open our doors and we're to say, come in here. Come with us. Come let us pray for you. Come let us show you what God has for you. Come let us help you. And be free. Be free from the garbage you're stuffing. And you're trying to hide from people. And the stuff you're running from. And the darkness that you can't seem to escape from. Come here. Come with us. Come join us. Come let us put our arm around you and love on you, because that's the example that Jesus gives us. Don't run from them. Don't hide them. Don't throw them away. Bring them to us. Bring them into the family. And in doing that, and they see that we've set ourselves apart because we know what God's Word says and we know what we're not supposed to be doing. We know what we are supposed to be doing. And so we're working on that in our own lives. And we're recognizing things in their life that they need help with. And we know that God will do a sanctifying work in them as well in a sequence that He knows is right for them. So there's things that they may be working on, or God might be working on in their heart right now, but there's other things that are obvious in their life that need to be worked on, but that's not what God's working on in their life at that moment, because He's working on this over here first. Just like in our lives, God will work on us in stages. He will work on them in stages. And so we set ourselves apart. They see us as an example of what it looks like to follow Christ. And they know, okay, I know that God is putting this on my heart, that I should not be doing this anymore. And I'm going to ask my friends that are now around me for help and encouragement as I take the steps to try to change this part of my life, as I let the Holy Spirit bring into my heart the conviction and the understanding of what pain is being caused by this, so that my heart is truly changed and I don't want it anymore because now I recognize where it truly leads to. We read God's Word. We let it change our heart, change our lives, and we purposely set ourselves in line the best we can with following God's Word. And then we welcome the other people in, broken as they are. Verse 11, he must turn away from wickedness and do what is right. He must search for peace with God, with self, with others, and pursue it eagerly, actively, not merely desiring it, but doing something about it. For the eyes of the Lord are looking favorably upon the righteous, the upright, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, eager to answer. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil. I have a whole bunch of notes wrote for that too. But I think based on the way that God has led all the times that I stepped away from my notes, that what I just read hopefully helps you to realize that this is the direction of God's Word. That God's Word says to be set apart, to be holy for he is holy, to strive after Him. But it also says to welcome others in, even in their brokenness, because they need help. Let's pray. Lord God, in everything we see in Your Word, there's love, there's encouragement, there's a heart behind why it's there. Lord God, open our eyes and open our hearts. Open our minds to receive from You the truth of what's in Your Word, what You truly want in our lives, and what You call us to remove from our lives. Help us, Lord God, as we step day by day, trying to do the right thing. Help us to do it with a heart that's truly following after You, versus a mind that knows that this is the academics, and so I'm going to follow the law because that's what it says. Lord God, help us to follow You with a heart that desires to follow You. Help us to see the truth of what You did and the heart behind why You did it. And help us to follow in Your footsteps. Help us to truly be a follower of You, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart, with our words and our actions. Lord God, help us to not merely have the understanding, to not merely say the right words that we're supposed to say in the right time, but help us to be and to do actively what Your Word says. Help us to truly be a follower of You everywhere we go. Lord God, bring blessings and encouragement upon people who are hurting and scared, that are in our fellowship, Lord God, that are in our family. Lord God, help us and lead us as we as we step forward in the leading of your Holy Spirit to put our arm around someone who doesn't know you yet. Help us to be doers, Lord God. Help us to follow your leading. And Lord God, for the many people in our family, and there's even many more outside of our walls that are hurting, physically, mentally, emotionally, Lord God, they're hurting, they're scared, they don't understand what's going on. Some of them have faith in you, and their faith is becoming shaky. Lord God, touch their bodies. Heal their bodies of physical illnesses. Touch their minds. Touch their hearts, Lord God. Heal their faith and encourage them. Bring people around them, Lord God. Bring us around them and help us to hold them up in these times. Lord God, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you that even though we are still sinners, that we're not getting it right all the time, we thank you that you love us still. We ask you, Lord God, to continue to draw our hearts closer and closer to you. And as your word says, as we draw closer to you, you draw closer to us. And so help us to see your hand upon our lives and upon the lives of those around us who we're praying for. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this all and we thank you. Amen.